You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Holidays have a way of creeping up on us, and now it's almost Thanksgiving when hordes of hungry people will be descending on your home. There's hardly enough time to prepare. So we have asked Melissa Clark to come to the rescue, and she is here with some shortcuts to make your dinner a stress-free feast. By the way, you can find the James Beard Award-winning food writer's column, A Good Appetite, each Wednesday in the New York Times dining section. Her latest book is called Cook This Now, and I'm very pleased to welcome you back to our show.
Thrilled to be here.
It's also a good time for our listeners to ask cooking questions. So we invite you to give us a call at 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-9692. Or you can leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. Do you like this holiday?
You know, I love the actual day. I love cooking for this holiday because I love autumnal produce. I mean, I love pumpkins and Brussels sprouts. It's some of my favorite things to cook with. What I don't love is the mania before the holiday. I think everybody's feeling it right now. The lists and the, did I place my turkey order? And, you know, how many turnips do I need for 14 people? That stuff makes me crazy. It makes everyone crazy.
But do you prefer to host it or do you like to go to somebody else's house?
I have no choice. I go to every year we go to my parents' house and we bring a lot of the food and we cook together. And I think this holiday is about cooking together.
Also, certain traditions.
Yes.
Would you be
yes.
able to break the rules and bring things that you haven't had for the last 28 years?
You know, we never make the same thing twice. In our, so many families say, oh, you know, you have to have, this is the pumpkin pie and this is the stuffing we always do. And, you know, we tweak everything. We're just tweakers. We're a family of tweakers. So we can't help ourselves. Even if we make chestnut stuffing every single year, every year we do it differently.
But there's always that fear of trying out something new on a whole bunch of people.
Yes. We don't have that in the Clark house. We are fearless cooks. And I have to thank my mother for that. She was the queen of making something, you know, for a holiday for a lot of people. And if it didn't work out, she could fix it. And I think that was – I learned a lot about fixing things from growing up in that kind of household.
You mentioned making up lists. So the lists are not only what you're going to cook, but you also have to – work out the timing. And the turkey is going to spend a lot of time in the oven. You just can't get around that. That means you can't put other stuff in the oven?
Yeah, that's the – unless you have one of those amazing dual oven setups or you have a big enough oven where you can use the rack on the bottom. You know, one thing that I do, which I think a lot of people – should do is if you want to do sweet potatoes while your turkey is in the oven, wrap them in foil and throw them on the bottom of the oven and just turn them so they don't scorch. But you don't actually need a rack. They can sit directly on the bottom of the oven. Same thing with regular potatoes. If you want to make your mashed potatoes from roasted instead of boiled potatoes, which, by the way, I highly recommend. So there are ways to kind of use little corners of your oven if you're thinking about it.
But you can't do that with Brussels sprouts.
Cannot do that with the Brussels sprouts. Well, it would be kind of a mess. You'd have to go individually. No, you have to plan. I mean, this is the holiday. The holiday is about planning and about getting, you're right about the timing. You know, you want your turkey to come out when people are there and not at 10 o'clock at night, you know, when, and so you have to think about it.
And then the turkey comes out. Usually somebody's late. So you have left it in the oven a little longer than you might have.
Right.
And it's slightly tasteless. How do we get around that?
Poor turkey. It's hard to make a good turkey, isn't it? It's really one of those things that is just too easy to mess up. I mean, first of all, most of the time we're dealing with turkeys that are not necessarily bred the best way. They don't have the most flavor of their type of bird. But I mean,
they're bred to have big breasts.
Exactly. And the breasts dry out. And it's a very challenging thing to cook. And I feel, you know, it's sort of criminal that we have made this bird that's hard to deal with the centerpiece of everybody's meal across the country. We all have to make it.
And you never do some of the other things. There are always these people who are proud to say, well, we have goose or we have... Or ham. Or, of course, there are a lot of people who are having vegetarian Thanksgivings.
You know, the one thing that you can't mess with in our house, I mean, I say we tweak, we have to have the turkey, even though probably every single one of us would rather have, maybe not a goose, but a duck, like nice duck confit, or maybe a crown roast of pork.
There's Cornish game.
Yes, Cornish game. But
they cook in no time.
And they're delicious, and they're much easier to maneuver in and out of the oven. But there is something, I mean, there's something really nice about, you know, that most people in this country are eating the same thing you are. And there's something that unifying about that that's very powerful.
One of our listeners, Selena from Brooklyn, asks, I'm going to be cooking just a turkey breast, not a whole turkey. Should I brine it first or baste it? Do you have any other cooking tips?
Brining it is a good idea. It will add flavor to the meat, which is a good thing. Don't brine it if it's kosher, by the way, because kosher turkeys have already been brined. That's a mistake people make, and then they get something that's too salty. But we know what you could do. A basting, definitely. One thing you could do is try a dry brine, which is just basically you just salt it the day or 2 days before, and you leave it uncovered in the fridge, and that way the skin can start to dry out and it gets crispy.
But I'm concerned that she's only having the turkey breast, because to me, the best part of the turkey is the drumsticks,
yes,
and the thighs.
Or the Pope's nose.
Yeah, but that's because they actually have a lot of flavor.
And they have a lot of fat, which is what's so good about them. They have much more fat than the lean breast meat.
Oh, that's why I like them.
Exactly. But here's something about the breast. If you just cook the breast, it is much less likely to dry out because you're not worrying about cooking the rest of the bird at the same time. So cooking a breast it by itself is a great strategy, and you can really be careful. And when it's just done, you can take it out. You don't have to let the legs finish cooking.
Mm-hmm. What about the stuffing? You're not one of those people who stuffs the bird, are you?
I used to be, but I converted. Oh, my goodness. We don't stuff the bird anymore because it's so much better if you take it, you take your stuffing, you put it in a casserole dish, and then if you want the flavor of the bird, I just take turkey skin and drape it right on top, and it becomes crackling and crispy, and it adds that rendered fat. You make a small dish separately for vegetarians, and you put some delicious butter or olive oil on top of that, so it also gets crispy.
And do you have certain traditional ones? Do you have regional chestnuts, oysters, apples and raisins, cornbread, sausage?
You know, I love all of that stuff. And anything is good in stuffing. Stuffing is one of those things which just, no matter what you put in it, it's going to, if you start with good bread, because that is what you need for stuffing. Don't use, you know, purchase breadcrumbs. Just dry out some good bread. You can even start drying it out right now. No matter what you add, it's going to taste delicious. We like chestnuts at our house.
This is another one of those things that you want to cook the same time that you're cooking the bird. So that makes it a little difficult.
That is, you know what, that's hard. That's a tough one.
That's why stuffing the bird makes it a little easier, even though the stuffing doesn't come out as well.
It doesn't. It's mushy. Here's what I do for the stuffing is I make the stuffing the night before. I don't bake it. I just assemble it the night before. And, you know, when the bird comes out, if you do the stuffing in smaller little dishes, I mean, one big, huge dish, it will take 45 minutes for it to cook. But if you do it in smaller dishes, you can get away with 30 minutes. And by the time, you know, it's sort of the last thing that goes on the table. By the time you've carved the bird and you've gotten everything seated, the stuffing comes out and everyone can just put it right on top.
So put the stuffing in immediately after that you pull the bird out.
Exactly. Have it all ready to go and put it in smaller dishes. Or ramekins. Individual ramekins might even do it in 20.
How many things can you make ahead so that you don't end up having to do everything on Thursday afternoon?
I know, right? Okay, well, first of all, today I hope you've all made your pie dough and you're going to make it from scratch, right? I want to hear yes on that, a big resounding yes. Pie dough can be made today. You can get if you're making cornbread for cornbread stuffing, which is another delicious thing, you can make your cornbread today and let that dry out. You can, if you're doing pumpkin pie from scratch, and I think, by the way, that butternut squash is the best pumpkin for pumpkin pie. You can roast that today, make the puree and put that in the fridge, bake the pie the day before. So there are things that you could be doing right now.
And do you freeze things or do you just stick them in the fridge?
I just stick them in the fridge. I don't like freezing things if I don't have to. Except for stock. If you have stock, you can, for gravy, and you want to make that ahead, say that you roasted a turkey, you know, in the middle of summer just for fun, or you're using chicken, like a good chicken stock, you can make that ahead and freeze it.
In the past, you have expressed certain prejudice against microwaves, but microwaves can be very helpful.
You remember that, do you? yeah, they can be, actually. You know what microwaves are great for? Getting your potatoes. If you're going to mash potatoes, you can use a microwave instead of boiling or steaming. Just do your potatoes in the microwave and then mash them.
Or you can, if you want roast potatoes, you can always microwave them for a while and then stick them in the oven, and they cook a lot quicker.
That's a good point. And you also brown the top in the broiler. That's another thing. Use your broiler while after your turkey comes out. Think about broiling things that go quickly.
A lot of people are writing in and calling. Our number here is 212-433-9692. You can leave a comment or a question on our show page at wnyc.org. My guest is Melissa Clark, who's the James Beard Award-winning food writer, whose column every Wednesday in the New York Times dining section is called A Good Appetite. You can also find her at newyorktimes.com, and her latest book is Cook This Now. And so let's talk about some of the things that people have written in. Becky from Albany says, I'm going to a Thanksgiving party where several guests are on a no flour, no sugar diet. Can you recommend a pumpkin pie, a squash inspired dessert where the squash is sweet enough that you don't have to add a sweetener?
Well, you know, I really do think butternut squash is sweeter than all the other winter squashes. I mean, I didn't test all of them, but I did a little test where I took 9 different winter squashes and I roasted them and compared their flavor. And butternut and acorn is also very sweet, but butternut's just easier to work with. So can you use honey? If she can use honey, she can just add a little bit of honey and caramelize it. But even so, just if you roast it with cinnamon, which is deliciously sweet, and a little bit of butter, and just roast it. The juices will condense and caramelize on their own without any added sweetener. You could puree that and just add whipped cream's allowed, right? You can just add whipped cream or yogurt and make a little fool, like a pumpkin fool, or you can just serve that over, say, frozen yogurt would be a great dessert, something simple without flour, without sugar. Oh, frozen yogurt has sugar. Okay, well, so then Greek yogurt. How about Greek yogurt? And maybe toasted walnuts and pomegranate seeds. Ooh, that sounds good.
Vanessa on Facebook writes, my favorite cranberry sauce recipe, it's more like a relish, calls for 2 cups of sugar. Are there any healthy substitutions for at least part of that sugar won't affect the flavor?
I love that. I know what relish you're talking about with the oranges. I love
put an orange right in.
I love that. That is a good one, but it is very, very sweet. And over the years, I've been cutting the sugar out of that. Right now, what I do with that same recipe is I use a little bit of honey, and you have to use some sugar. Cranberries are extremely tart, so you can't get away with no sugar. But you know what you can use? Candied ginger has sugar in it, which makes it sweet, but of dried fruit. If you want to add raisins or dried apricots, that's a nice way to add sweetness.
Well, she says she uses cranberry juice and orange juice in the recipe. Now, if you use a whole orange, aren't you sweetening it
exactly.
bit more anyway?
Exactly. Orange juice is a natural way to add sweetness, and it tastes terrific with cranberries or classic combination.
Should you take off the peel?
You don't have to take off the peel. I throw the whole orange in. I just cut it up into 1-inch chunks, and I throw it in the food processor along with the cranberries.
Chris in New York City says, Melissa's pie crust is the best recipe ever.
Thank you. Do you
recommend making the pie crust in advance and then baking Thanksgiving morning? How far in advance can I bake a pie and still expect the crust to remain tender and flaky?
Okay, well, you can make the dough today. So go ahead and make the dough today. Then what I would do in a perfect world, if you had the time to do it, and by the way, I usually end up baking my pies the day before, which is not 100% ideal, but it's pretty good. In a perfect world, you bake the crust until it's nice and crisp the day before, and then you make the pumpkin filling the day before, and then you bake everything first thing on Thanksgiving morning before the turkey goes into the oven, and that is just ideal.
Expect your kitchen to be warm the whole day.
Yes, just bask in it.
Steve in Queens says, can I buy a thawed, not frozen turkey today and season it over the weekend? Keep it in the refrigerator until next Thursday morning.
I don't know if you can do it this far ahead. I think Sunday would be the safest day
frozen. A lot of people get turkeys from farmers markets, and they are only on the weekends.
Yeah, so I think today. You know, I'm sure there's probably the USDA has a website that will tell you exactly how many days ahead you can keep a fresh turkey. I mean, because at this point we're talking that's 6 days ahead, and my comfort level would be 4 days ahead. I think we're getting our turkey on Monday, actually, and that to me seems a fresh turkey, and that seems right. But if you are going to brine it for a few days, the brine might help preserve it. So I don't want to say yes, go ahead and do it, but I'd say do some more research. It might be okay.
Well, you talked earlier about a dry brine. Do you
yes.
think that they are as good as brining it in salt water?
I think they're, you know, for me, I like it better because I'm a skin girl. I like the crispy skin. And if you're going to add so much water to it, it's much harder to get that skin crisp. So if you use a dry brine, the salt, what happens with a dry brine is that which is basically a dry brine just means salt and some seasonings. And I make a little salt mix in the food processor with herbs and garlic and all kinds of yummy things, put it on the turkey. Leave it uncovered in the fridge, and at first it starts to ooze, the turkey juice, and then
because salt actually extrudes
exactly, fat. And then it reabsorbs it, and then the skin dries out, which is how you get a crisp skin.
My guest is Melissa Clark of the New York Times, and of other publications. Also the author of how many books now? Did we establish that last time you were here?
You know, I'm up to 34. I would like to say that that's one for every year of my life, but that would be a lie. So.
Well, you don't look a day over 34.
Well, thank you.
Melissa Clark's article, A Good Appetite, appears in the dining section of the New York Times every Wednesday. You can also find it at newyorktimes.com. And you can find some of the recipes that Melissa is sharing with us on our show page at WNYC.org. We'll come back to talk about those, take a lot of calls, and cover some of the other issues of Thanksgiving right after this. We are back with Melissa Clark of the New York Times and the many cookbooks, her latest, Cook This Now. You can read her every Wednesday in the New York Times dining section under the heading A Good Appetite. Before we go to these calls and some of the other questions that have been sent in, a big topic of discussion among foodies this week was Jacques Pepin's suggestion that you steam the turkey before you roast it.
Isn't that fabulous? You know, I
sounds like a lot of work.
It does sound like a lot of work, but it sounds like it's going to be an amazing turkey, especially if you have, I wouldn't want to do it with a 25-pound turkey or something, but with a small, with a 12-pounder, I would try it, except that this year we're already committed to butterflying. I think this is the year of the butterfly turkey. I feel like Mark Bittman did an article about it in Food 52. Amanda Hesser has something there. You know, I feel like this is every, finally, it, we're all sort of going with that trend, with the butterflying, because it cooks quickly. And you were talking about the oven, the problem of oven space on Thanksgiving. Well, if you have a turkey that cooks in an hour and 15 minutes instead of 3 hours, you have that much more time to bake your pies and make your potato gratin and all that good stuff.
But they tend to be big. They tend to take up a lot of space, and they tend to take a long time.
Yeah.
Karen in Norwalk, Connecticut says, I'm in charge of the turkey this year for the first time and was watching Melissa's videos on NewYorkTimes.com. She suggests 1/2 inch of liquid in the bottom of the roasting pan. Can I use chicken stock or just water? Well, we use the turkey drippings for gravy, and I'm worried that apple cider or wine will change the taste of the gravy.
It will change the taste of the gravy. I would like that taste of the gravy. I love those flavors in my gravy, especially wine. I think what I would use is half water, half wine, because then you'd get a little bit of brightness from the wine in your gravy, but not an overwhelming winey flavor. And you don't really
You're talking about white or red?
Either one. I mean, I was thinking white when I was talking about it, but red would be good too. Here's the thing that I don't think you need to use chicken stock because you're already going to get the turkey dripping. So you're going to have that poultry flavor. You don't need the extra chicken.
Let's take a call. Lisa from Union, New Jersey. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. Thanks for taking my call. I am hosting Thanksgiving this year, and I hosted it 2 years ago. And I did a test run this year. I roasted my turkey. I guess it was like a 12-pound turkey a couple of weeks ago. And it comes out pink, even though the temperature,
yes,
you know, with a meat thermometer says it's ready.
Yes.
But the meat is still pink.
That happens with some turkeys. That is, I forget exactly why that happens. I wish I'm pulling my memory. I can't remember why. But yes, that is true. I think it's especially if you're, did you use, is it a heritage breed or is it a wild turkey or was it just a regular old supermarket?
No, I think it's Shady Brook Farms.
Okay, like that, well, so, yeah. I mean, I think that, first of all, depends on feed and depends on exercise, how much exercise the bird gets. It's probably a good sign. I know that all
So you mean you're saying the turkey can be cooked and still look
pink? It still looks pink. I know. It's funny that, I'm glad you're bringing this up because this is something that comes up every year. We have guests who are not used to seeing this pink meat, and it's in part because we always use a heritage bird, or we have been lately, and also because it's just that's what color it is. If you overcook it, it will eventually go gray, and then it will be very unappetizing.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Yes.
Yeah, we went microwaving 2 years ago. It was pink, and I put it in the microwave. I
turned gray.
Didn't want anybody to get sick, but so you're saying it's essentially it is then cooked.
As long as you have to trust your meat thermometer.
The meat
if you're
exactly
getting the right temperature, yes, and ours looks pink too. By the way,
okay, so. Good. That's good to know. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling. It's
us.
A great point.
If the microwave were really big, you could put the turkey in the microwave for a little bit and
you
then stick it
in. You just love that microwave, don't you?
It has been a source of tension at the house. Francis from West Village, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Francis, and I know you, Leonard, from old drawing group days on Canal Street.
Oh, my.
Yeah,
don't go into details.
I won't.
It was in the past. I never inhaled.
Yeah, right. We didn't have any of those problems. At any rate, I have a friend who actually was a hunter, and she killed a turkey, and she gave it to me. And I'm just wondering if there are any suggestions, tips, instructions.
Wow.
For how is the best way to cook it? I must say it's already been skinned. That was how they dealt with the feathers. They just pulled. And my friend just pulled the whole skin off.
That's a shame. That.
Yeah.
But wow.
But what about the pellets?
So
I've had wild.
Yeah,
I've had some
right,
wild birds where you have to be careful to spit out all the little BBs.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, so watch for those. I would braise it. If it's not, if you don't have
this. Braise it, okay.
Two things you can do. Either cut it apart and braise it, or cover it in bacon. Because if you'd, which would be delicious, actually.
I don't use bacon. I can't use bacon.
Then you want to braise it. Because you're not going to be able to roast it, I don't think, without the skin successfully, unless you have some kind of insulation to keep it from drying out. Especially
okay.
A wild bird, they're very lean. And I've actually had them. I've never cooked a wild bird, but I've eaten them, and they're delicious. They have so much flavor.
They do. Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, this is great. I mean, you have been given I'm so in awe of your friend who went out and killed a wild turkey for you. You've got good friends.
So yes, I do.
I would cut it apart, and I would braise it, and I would use a good amount of oil in the pan when you're braising it. And then a flavorful liquid, you know, you could braise it almost like making a coq au vin, you know, except with turkey.
Oh, okay.
But Francis, don't you know that bacon is one of the four basic food groups?
Yeah, I do, but my husband doesn't. He doesn't want to do pork, so what can I tell you?
Thank you for calling us.
And good luck with that.
John from Paramus, hi, you're on the air.
How you doing? I'd like to know your opinion of deep-fried turkeys, and if you ever had one, and what does it taste like?
Oh, they're so good.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Have you had one, Leonard? They're delicious, right?
That just sounds like too much fat for me.
Oh, really?
Me,
you've never
yeah.
had? I think they're great. I have never cooked one by myself. I've never done it. I'm a little afraid. I have to be honest. It seems kind of scary.
Because there's an awful lot of hot oil.
It's an awful lot of hot oil. And plus, you know, I mean, I have a small child, so, I mean, I could keep her inside. But if I was outside frying the turkey, she'd want to come outside, too. So I would say, I mean, I'm sure people who know how to do it safely. But I have eaten one, and they are it's delicious because what happens is when you deep fry a bird, you keep all the moist juices. It does not get dry. It just stays juicy. And you have I'm a skin lover. You have the crisp skin. You have the juicy flesh. Are you thinking about doing it?
Absolutely not. I'm definitely afraid of it. But I just hear about it all the time. And I see it on TV, and I don't want to go anywhere near that. It doesn't look that appetizing to me anyway. When they pull it out, it really doesn't.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I know what it tastes like. It gets my salivary glands, you know, going already because I know that it's so crispy and yummy. But I can understand if you've never tasted it to just kind of look at it. It looks sort of, you know, strange.
Thank you.
What turkey do you recommend? Is a fresh kill, a kosher, whatever, butterball? What do you recommend?
Koshers are good. If you're going to go to the supermarket, find a kosher one. It's pre-brined. It has a lot of flavor. Otherwise, if you don't mind spending the cash, I really do think that the heritage breeds, they taste better, I think. They're gamier. They're richer in flavor. But they're expensive.
But that's because
I enjoy your columns, so thank you.
That's because they've been allowed to walk around.
Exactly. They're given a lot more care, you know, and it takes more money for them to be raised, so their upkeep is a lot more expensive.
My guest is Melissa Clark, whose latest cookbook is Cook This Now. You can also read her column every Wednesday in the New York Times dining section. It's called A Good Appetite. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopit. We're taking your calls at 212-433-9692. Or you can leave a question or comment on our show page at WNYC.org. The harvest is starting to wind down. We don't have as many green vegetables as we did in the past. But there's Brussels sprouts, as we mentioned earlier. How do you prepare those?
Well, gosh, you know, lately we've been doing, our last couple of years, we've been doing a Brussels sprout salad, which I've been very into raw vegetables. I just love the crunch, especially around Thanksgiving. I mean, you have so many other things that are soft and stewed. So we do several salads, and it's almost like a slaw. And you take the Brussels sprouts, and it's time consuming, but you can do all of it the night. Well, you can you don't want to mix it together till serving, but you can prepare everything the night before. You want to shred your Brussels sprouts.
Do you pull the leaves out off the outside?
No, it's not that bad.
I just meant there's sometimes there are leaves that look like they're a little
old.
Yes,
when you're trimming. You know, I'd cut the bottom off, and then usually if there's a yellowing or brown leaf, I'll pull that off too. And then I shred them. I usually use a knife, but you can use the food processor, just the shredding disc. You get this beautiful pale green shred of Brussels sprouts, and then I add a lot of olive oil. And sometimes I use toasted walnuts. Sometimes I leave the nuts out since we have family members who don't eat nuts. So, but you just, the trick with it is to use really good vinegar or lemon juice and a lot of olive oil. And it just makes this, it's so fresh tasting and it's completely different than the way you're used to eating Brussels sprouts. It makes them sweet.
Although Brussels sprouts just with a little bit of olive oil on them and some good salt.
And roasted. Oh, delicious. If you have oven space, though, that's an oven space thing.
You've given us a raw kale salad.
Yes.
Kale is the probably the most problematic of all the leafy vegetables. We have a CSA here at WNYC. Actually, we received our last bag yesterday. And the only complaint people had was too much kale.
Too much kale. Gosh, can your CSA talk to my CSA? Because I don't get enough kale. we barely ever get – you know what we get a lot of? We get a lot of purple potatoes, which, you know.
I like them.
They're good. I like kale better, though. Raw kale salad isn't – kale is the it vegetable right now. Kale salad is sort of the it salad. And what's so great about a kale salad for Thanksgiving is you can make the whole thing in advance before your guests come over. Kale salad gets better as it sits. It's one of those things where you can – make it maybe even an hour or two ahead and just leave it on the table. And it kind of gets a little softened and wilty, but in a really good way. And the one I have on the website right now has, it's sweet, it has dates and orange and lemon. And it is really, oh, and anchovy, of course. And it's flavorful. And it's, again, a little bit different than the normal Thanksgiving flavors, which is why I like it.
Catherine on Twitter writes, maple syrup butter glaze is very nice for turkey.
Yes, it
gives
is.
A good color. She tried it this past Canadian Thanksgiving, and she says, wow. Chuck wonders about cooking the stuffing in a crock pot.
Hey, now that's an idea. The only problem with the stock pot is you're not going to get the crisp top because the stock pot will not give you it doesn't brown. It just sort of steams. So you're going to cook it through. You know what? You know what you might try, anybody who wants to try a stock pot, and I mean a slow cooker, is you want to do it ahead and get it to the 165, which is your magic temperature for the eggs being safe to eat that you have in your stuffing. Then spread it out on a dish and broil the top. That's right. Not bad. Could work. Never tried it, but it's feasible.
Another listener wants to know, if you want to make a turkey really quickly, can you cut it up and cook it fast?
Oh, yes, you can. And that's a great way to do it because, like I was saying earlier about the white meat, if you cut up a turkey before roasting it, then you have control over how roasted each piece gets. So you take the breast out when that's done and you leave the legs in and let them finish cooking.
Another listener wonders about your thoughts on the turducken.
You know, I've never had one. I'm embarrassed to admit.
Me neither.
I've been to parties where they've existed, and by the time I get to the platter, they're always gone. So I wish I could. One day I will have thoughts on it.
Alyssa recommends Alton Brown's video guide for frying turkeys.
Ah, okay. I will. That's good to know. I will check that out if I ever am so brave.
We're kind of running out of time. What do you do with turkey leftovers?
I'm a turkey sandwich fiend. And oh, here's something that I do. I'll tell you right now. I make my own aioli or mayonnaise, either one. You make that the next day, you know, right after Thanksgiving, and you have that in the fridge, and I slather that on my turkey sandwiches, and I slather on the I like spicy. I don't use cranberry sauce. I use like a spicy condiment, like you know what's great is a mango pickle or something, or a Branston pickle, something really something that is very I don't know, pungent, because it perks up the sandwich. And so the night, I always get a good rye bread. I make my own mayo, and then I've got some pungent condiment, and that takes care of my turkey.
Cheryl from Soho, hi, you're on the air.
Oh, I'm so glad I got on. Hi.
Hi.
A friend of mine said I should try crinkling up aluminum foil, tin foil, and putting it into the cavity of the bird. She does it with chicken all the time, and I said, but can you do it with turkey? And she said, I've done it, and it's great. And I'm like, huh?
That's, you know what? That is. really good idea. I've never done it, but I'm imagining she does it because the metal will conduct the heat and cook the inside.
Exactly.
That is she says it's smart.
She gets a really even roasting.
Have you ever put cooked turkey in one of those bags that they sell in the supermarket?
Oh, no. Have you?
No, but I knew somebody who swore by them, and whenever a turkey didn't come out well, she'd say, well, you should have put it in the bag.
I've never tried a bag.
You have given us a recipe for bourbon and brown butter pumpkin pie.
Brown butter pumpkin pie. I love brown butter. I'm putting it in everything these days. I did a brown butter stuffing, by the way, with cornbread for the Times. And then for you guys, I did this brown butter pie. And it just adds that nutty autumnal flavor.
And if you're ever making chocolate chip cookies, brown butter really makes them taste so much better.
Okay. I need to go home and do that right now. That sounds so good.
Thank you so much for being with us again. And a reminder that we have some of Melissa Clark's recipes on our show page at WNYC.org. And Melissa, you're going to be back in December because Christmas will be coming up and we're going to have a Christmas cookie recipe swap.
I'm so excited. Everyone send your cookie recipes. I'm dying to make them all.
And then we'll talk to the people who have sent in the ones that you thought were most interesting or...
Right.
Or whatever. Sometimes they're really good ones, but they're like the other one.
Right.
So only we try to get as much variety as possible. Well, I look forward to seeing you on December 18th. And, of course, I'll be reading your column every Wednesday. Thank you for being with us again.
Thank you for having me.